Okay.
Can I just give you a quick introduction? I heard on Shabbos Rav Holstein at the Kiyat Yishol. You have to correct me if I get this wrong, but I think what he said was like this. He pointed out, number one, that at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, this last week's Parsha, but in this whole Sefer Vayikra, basically Rashi says that the word Vayikra means Hashem called to Moshe. And Rashi says that call, that before Hashem actually spoke to Moshe, he always called him first. So you contrast that with what it says for the Nevi'im of Umas Ha'olam. For Bilam, it says Vayikar. Vayikar, it actually says Hamalek, which is exactly Reuven's topic. Vayikar means it was chance. Okay, the Torah says about Hamalek, Asher Kor Chabadar, they chanced. Now we have to figure out what that means. Maybe we'll talk about that. But in the context of the Rashi and Vayikra, the point is that that Hashem just sort of happened to speak to the Nevi'i Umos Ha'olam, as opposed to Moshe, where it was a purposeful call. Moshe here, and Moshe says, yes, I'm here, and he starts talking. So I believe, if I remember correctly, he quoted Rav Amital, who said that this point illustrates the idea that that things can't just happen chance. We have to, in Judaism, we're always into, you know, being mechavin and to intend and to think about things beforehand. And the point being that what he was explaining, and I think this is true here also, when you do a mitzvah, you do something in Judaism, you can't just start doing it out of nowhere. You have to already have kavanah. You got to think about, you know, where my mind is and what my intention is and what I'm planning on doing. And I think that's especially true for chagim in general, and that's why the Gemara says that we have a period of time before the chag that you start learning the halachos of the chag. But especially for Purim, I think the hachanas for Purim have to be done beforehand, meaning to really be able to appreciate and properly fulfill the mitzvahs of Purim, as well as Zechiras, remembering the mitzvah of Amalek. You have to really put in some thought and some time and some learning beforehand to be able to get to that level. So I think that's what we're trying to do here tonight, is to try to give a little bit of thought and of learning and preparation to all the mitzvahs that have to do with Purim before they come. So thank you, Reuven, for speaking now. Thanks to the Confortis for hosting, and the Shirim Center dedicated in memory of not I'm sorry, it's for your, who is it again?
It's my mom.
Oh, it's your mother. Okay, fine. So your mother is having just
here, right?
Okay.
Karin Batnelli.
Karin.
That's the mother's name, right?
Yeah.
Batnelli.
Okay, so she should have a refuah shleima. So, hi, thank you. Hello. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about tonight was the war with Amalek. We're coming up to Shabbat Zachor. We're going to learn all about Amalek again. We did the same thing last year, same thing this year. Why do we keep having to go over it? Answers we all know. Because the war in Amalek's every generation. Cool. Except, personally, I don't remember fighting Amalek. So doesn't really seem to be my war. Truth is, it is my war. That's why we have to learn it every year. That's why it's a field to be there, mitzvah deraita, to learn, to hear. So it's important for us to know what it is actually that the war's about. Because if I don't know what the war's about, I can't fight it. If I can't fight it, we're not gonna win. It's not just a question of I'm gonna have to suffer Amalek. It's not suffer Amalek door. It's fight. Fight indicates there's a fight that you have to win. It's not just put up with it, live with it, die by it. It's fight. So let's see a little bit, Bezrat Hashem, with Hashem's help, we'll learn a little bit about what the war is and how we can fight it. Okay, so if we open up to Parshat Zachor, it's interesting. It's very interesting, but I have two questions to start with. First question. How could Amalek attack Am Yisrael? Am Yisrael were protected by the Anani HaKavod. We know specifically that Mitzrayim chased Am Yisrael. They threw the spears, they did whatever, the clouds of glory stopped anything. Right? We had nothing to worry about. No, we were untouchable. Question one. Second question, why didn't we finish them off? We had Moshe. You're not going to get a better leader than that. We had Yeshua fighting the war itself. If they're not going to finish them off, then we've got no chance. Why didn't they just finish them off there and then? So there are two questions to start with. I'm going to give two quick answers to that. And we're going to see how those answers play out for the rest of this year. So the two basic answers that Rashi gives the answer to both of them. So the first question, why did
how did Amalek manage to fight Am Yisrael if we were protected by the Anani HaKavod? So Rashi answers, Rashi says, that the text says, V'yomar Moshe el Yoshua, V'chalanu anashim, Moshe said to Yeshua, go and choose some men to fight. V'tsei hilachem, V'tsei hilachem, go out and fight. Rashi says, Tsei hilachem, Tsei min ha'anan, V'hilachem bo. Go out from the cloud. Truth is, they couldn't touch us. They had to go out from the cloud in order to fight. In the cloud, we're perfectly fine. No one's coming anywhere near us. Go out of the cloud and fight. Oh, that's the first answer. Second question. Why didn't Moshe / Yeshua finish them off? Rashi again. Rashi a little bit later. The text says, Vayachalosh Yeshua et Amalek. Right, Yeshua weakened Amalek. Ve'et amor lefi charev. And the people caught it with his sword. Rashi says, Vayachalosh Yeshua, Chatach Roshei Giborav. He cut off the heads of the mighty ones. He only left the weak ones. They did a good job for us. They cut off the main ones, but they left the weak ones. Why? Lo haragam kulam. They didn't kill all of them. Mikan anu lomdim. From here we learn she'asu al pi hadibor shel ha-shechina. Here we learn that they did it according to the word of the Shechina. Meaning what? Just in basic terms, it means that they could have killed them all. They killed all the mighty ones, so for sure they could have finished off the weak ones. The reason why we didn't kill the weak ones, because the Shekhinah said not to. Hashem said don't. Hashem said leave them. Let them be. Why? Answers at the end. Because it's a fight door-door. It has to be a fight generation to generation. If I wanted you to finish them off there and then, I could have. Easily. Could have. We're in the position to do it. But Hashem didn't want that. He wanted the fight, Dafka, to be door-door. Okay. So the fight's going to be door-door until when? Until we finish them off. Until we kill them off. When we kill off Amalek, that's it. That's Geula. That's the end. Until that point, we're still fighting. But at that point, there will be no more Amalek. So who is Amalek? What is Amalek? Yes.
Right, well, I questioned this earlier, but well, later on we think it's God's will that King Shaul kill the last of Amalek, and he's faulted for not doing it. Is that a problem with what we're saying now?
No, because we could, so I don't know if this is the only answer, but we could answer to that if Shaul had killed Amalek, then that would have been it. That would have been Gula then.
Okay.
Shaul was the first king. He was meant to be the first and the last king. That was meant to be the end game then. So we could have finished then, but we didn't.
Okay.
So what is Amalek? So the next bit I'm gonna run through quickly, because it's stuff that maybe we've heard quite a few times before, but it's important to get the feel of where we're going with this. So Amalek, as we know, Amalek, Gematria, Safek. Amalek is doubt.
Thank you.
Right? The same Gematria as the word Safek. Amalek came. Why did Amalek come? Because Am Yisrael said, famously, unfortunately, one of the several unfortunate things we said, Hayesh Hashem b'kilbeinu imayin. Is Hashem with us or not? Doubt. Doubt is what brought Amalek into being. Doubt is who Amalek is. That's their source, their root. The Gemara famously asks, where do we find Haman in the Torah? Right? Haman equates to Amalek. It doesn't say where do you find Amalek, but it says Haman, which is even an even deeper root, because it comes before, comes in creation. So where do we find it? So the answer is given there. Hamin ha'etz. Hamin. The word Hamin is the word Haman. What does it mean? So one of the perushim is Hamin ha'etz was a question. Did you eat from the tree? Hashem says, kevyachol, did you eat? I don't know. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Hashem is bringing doubt into the world. Maybe Hashem sees, maybe Hashem doesn't see. That is where Haman comes into the world. And that's what Haman Amalek is. Therefore, it's no surprise that the war with Amalek is fought by Moshe. How does Moshe fight the war? So we know, as the pasuk tells us, his hands were emunah. What does it mean, emunah? So Rashi and the onklus both translate his hands were emunah as saying his hands were spread in prayer. hands were spread in prayer. Prayer is emunah. And emunah is the weapon to fight doubt. Emunah is the opposite of doubt. You might say, but wait a minute, the opposite of emunah is complete lack of belief. It's not doubt, it's a complete lack. That's one extreme. But there's no such thing as a complete lack of belief. Why? Because the truth is, Hashem exists. The truth is, the person who's espousing the fact that he thinks, he expounds, that Hashem doesn't exist, himself is a godly nima. So he's lying to himself. There's no such thing as a complete belief that Hashem doesn't exist. Right? People say that, but there's no such thing. There's only doubt. Doubt is the opposite of emunah. And that's why emunah is the main thing. And ofi Hashem, right? It's the first commandment that includes all the other commandments in it. It's the reason the Zohar says for all the commandments is to learn faith, to learn emunah. That's the key thing, that's it. Once you have emunah, you have everything. And therefore the fight against emunah, the classic fight of good and evil in the world, is emunah against doubt. Am Yisrael against Amalek. The fight from generation to generation. The fight. And that's our fight too. So, also just to add in another thing that's probably known as well, but at the time, where did they fight? Where did Amalek fight? At Rephidim. What's Rephidim? It's a Gemara, Chazal, can't remember where. It says Rephidim, Raf Yadayim, soft hands. Right? What's soft hands? It means weakness in faith. Right? We saw that it's Moshe's hands that were spread in prayer that defeated. Raf Yadayim means soft hands, weak hands. It was the weakness in faith that caused Amalek to come. Tov Rashi, Rashi's got a nice story there, a parable about a man who's riding on his father's shoulders. A dog comes and bites him. Tov. Have a look there for extra things. Okay, so we've got the basis of what we're talking about. Amalek is doubt. Amalek is a spiritual force. It's not a physical force. The physical force is largely irrelevant. It's a spiritual force that kills us. That's the war. That's the main ikkah of what the war is. Right? And we know that because we only won or lost according to Moshe's hands. When Moshe's hands were strong, when the faith was strong, we were winning. And when the faith was not, we weren't. Spiritual war. So, going back to our original question, we said, how did Amalek manage to fight Am Yisrael? So the answer was, only when we came out of the cloud, only when we came out of the Ananei HaKavod. If we stayed with inside the Ananei HaKavod, the clouds of glory, the Kedusha, we stayed inside there, completely protected. Same is true in every generation. What happened in Shushan, in Purim? Am Yisrael fell. Am Yisrael fell badly in their emunah. Why? So, Tov, the Midrashim talk about the prophecy of 70 years, that the Galut, the exile, was only meant to last for 70 years, and after that we were going to go back, and of course that's what happened, but they counted from the wrong time, and that's why Ahasuerus made the feast. Am Yisrael, when that happened, they saw the Kalim of the Beit HaMikdash being used by these Goyim, etc., and the prophecy apparently not being fulfilled. So that's it. We got thrown out. We didn't get brought back. We've been abandoned. We've been efficient. 70 year, it's over. That's it. Am Yisrael fell. They saw that Haman had power over them. But one person, Mordechai, didn't waver. One person, Mordechai, the tzaddik, didn't waver. Had complete faith, complete emunah. Right? He was untouchable because of his faith, because he stayed within these clouds of Ananei HaKavod. Untouchable. Here he is, the most powerful man in the world, in charge of 127 provinces. We don't call Ahasuerus in charge. He was just sitting there having a drink, right? Haman was in charge, all the money, all the power, everything. And every morning, Mordechai Dafka goes and sits at the gate, sticks his shoe in his face, and refuses to bow to him. Right? It takes a little bit of guts. Why? Because he knew he's untouchable. He can't touch me. Can't touch Mordechai. He's inside the Ananei HaKavod. But Am Yisrael are not. Am Yisrael are very badly fallen. They lost their faith. We got it back. Kimu v'kiblu. Right? We fasted. We got it back. What happens at the end of the story? The end of the conclusion of Purim story is one of the most puzzling, for me anyway, conclusions of all biblical stories. My wife, and I can see your brain working already.
Why did it end with
the tax? No. But that's not the end. That puzzles me. What puzzles me is the conclusion of the is for me very, very bizarre, because nothing actually happens, right? The Haman's decree is we're going to kill you all, right? And then the saving grace is we're still going to kill you all, but you can fight back. That's it. Well, nothing else. Nothing more. That's it. We're going to fight back. Yeah, you're allowed to fight back. What, you weren't allowed to fight back before? Well, yeah, you were allowed to fight back before, but now officially you're allowed to fight back. Oh, and that's it? Yeah. And then we wipe them out. Without even a thought. It wasn't even a concern. It's not like the Jews trembled. Maybe we're going to win. Maybe we're going to lose. It's going to be a tough battle. Oh, Be'ezrat Hashem, everything's going to go. No. They walked in and they... Why? For one reason. They got their Emunah back. They were back inside the Ananei HaKavod. They knew they were untouchable. It wasn't even a question that we're going to win. It wasn't even a question that they were going to kill all their enemies. Absolutely no difference from the day before to the day after in terms of the second decree. Nothing happened except in here. That's the only thing that changed. When we believe in ourselves, Am Yisrael are untouchable. Mamash untouchable. It's a sug of mida keneged mida. The way you think, the way you believe, it's the way you're treated. Hashem treats us according to how we think. We have free choice, ultimate free choice. Our free choice includes everything, including in how we're treated. If a person really believes that the vinegar burns just like oil, then it burns. Only down to what I actually believe. If a person believes in his own prayers, then they come true. For sure. They're always answered. It's just a pure question of belief. And that's what we need, belief in ourselves. The battle in every generation is belief in ourselves. What does it mean, belief in ourselves? It means belief that Hashem has not abandoned me. Hashem loves me. Hashem is with me. Hashem is protecting me. Belief in all of those things. All of those things are what fell in the desert, what fell at Purim, and they're what fall for us every day. Is Hashem with me? Does Hashem love me? Is Hashem protecting me? Is Hashem listening to me? They're the questions that we have ourselves. And that's our battle in every generation. If we fall, we forget Hashem, we fall into doubt. What happens? So then we get attacked. We get attacked by all the forces of Amalek. Amalek attacks us every day, waiting, crouching at the door, ready to pounce. Right? Waiting there. Can't come in unless we let him. We have to let him in, otherwise he has no permission to come in. In the final generation, Amalek's going to be destroyed. How? Because we're going to remove all doubt. We're going to remove all doubt. How do we remove all doubt? That's our job. It's interesting that you can look at it this way. In Mitzrayim, we fell to the 49th level of Tumah. However, there's one level below that, the 50th level of Tumah. In Mitzrayim, we didn't fall to that. And therefore, we could only fight Amalek down to the 49th level, but we couldn't fight him down on the 50th level. However, you might be surprised to know that this generation, the final generation, if this is the final generation, is fighting in the battle of the 50th level of Tumah. That's our battleground. We're in that 50th level. What does that mean? It means that we fall constantly, daily, into some very dark, terrible places. Lowest places possible. That's why the Tanaim and the Gemara said, let it come, but I don't want to be there. They didn't want to fall into those places. They knew they couldn't. They couldn't survive. Right? But we, in the way we've been brought up, certainly at least those of us who are Baal Teshuva, I speak for myself, we've been in some very terrible places. And we came out of them. And take a Baal Teshuva guy and put him on Tel Aviv beach on a Shabbos afternoon with an ice cream in his hand. He'll be back in yeshiva the next morning. Take a guy from Bnei Brak who's been full from birth, who's never been out of Bnei Brak, stick him on the beach on a Shabbos afternoon. That's it, he's gone. He's never coming back. Can't do it. But we can. We have the benefit of actually having been there and come out. Like a spiritual bungee jump, where we go down and then we come back up. The famed Tzaddik falls 7 times and gets up. That's us. We are the generation of the fallen. Mamash. We fall continuously, all the time. You see that in the times of the Gemara, if you fell, that was it. Right? Many stories of Tanaim that their da'at weakened. They got weak and they died. That was it. Once you fall, you fall. But not us. We have that power because we're so low. For Hashem, it's an amazing, right? And that's our gift, and that's our challenge, and that's our fight in this generation. Every time we go down and we fall, we get up, we bring Hashem into those places. We bring the light down into that 50th level. What does it mean? It means that when we're lying on the floor in that 50th level of hating ourselves, of hating the world, of hating life, of not wanting to be there, of being mamash in a terrible state. So at that point when we remember Hashem and remember faith, that is bringing Hashem into that place. Hashem exists even in that low place, is what we're saying. You can say we're raising the sparks, we're doing all different things. We're bringing Hashem into those places. What happens, like with any negative force, let's call them fear. Amalek is largely a fear. It doesn't exist. It's a fear. With any fear, once you face it, you look it in the face, it disappears. It doesn't exist anymore. Right? The power of a fear, power of a lust, the power of the whole Yetzirah is that it's hidden. Right? If we're talking about the Megillah, there's a parish on Vashti. Vashti was told to come to the feast naked. Right? Why didn't she come to the feast naked? So one of the perishim is that she knew that she couldn't. Right? Because the whole interest, if you like, is the fact that something has to be covered up. Once it's completely bare, there's nothing, right? There has to be something covered, right? It's the fact that something is hidden. Nachman talks about the Yetzer Hara as a parable. A man went through the marketplace with his fist closed, and everybody thinks that he has in that fist what he wants. They will chase him. He gets to the end and he opens it, and there's nothing there. Right? So when we reveal that there's nothing there, is when it disappears. When a person faces a fear, Gemara says in Brachot, implies there that any fear a person has, he has to fall to that fear. If you have a fear, you have to fall to it. Hashem's going to make that fear come about. Why? Not because Hashem's mean and he's trying to punish you. To show you that there was nothing in it. To show you there's nothing to fear there. When a person faces their fear, they realize it doesn't exist. A person who's a kid is afraid of dogs, for example. I'm afraid of dogs. Later on, when he's old, he gets a dog. Love, cuddly, ugh. What happened to that fear? It disappeared. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist anymore. When a person confronts whatever the fear is, it disappears. When we go down into the 50th level of Tumah, what do we see? We see that there's nothing there. There's nothing exciting. Mamash, there's nothing exciting about an iPhone. There's nothing exciting about the beach. There's nothing exciting about all this nonsense that the Yetzer Hara is trying to sell. And a person realizes that and he comes out and he chooses God instead, then the Yetzer Hara, he's done. Because that was it. That's all he had to offer. That was the lowest of the low, and that was his best shot. And he fired his best shot. And we still said, no, thank you. Interesting, I like what you do, but nothing there. There's nothing there. There's nothing in it. So when a person falls into any of those things and comes out, He comes out because he knows there was nothing in that. It was a waste of time, and he can never fall again for the same thing. He can, if he didn't, we fall again, say, till we've cleaned it out. And that's when Amalek's finished. That's when Sahara's finished. So that's our task. Our task is to know. Now, Amalek is the doubt. Amalek is the Yetzirah. Amalek is the know that Hashem doesn't exist. Hashem doesn't love you. Hashem doesn't care for you. He's not protecting you. We have to know He is. And He does. And then we're completely protected. And then we're winning the war against Amalek. We're fighting it. We're winning it. We're bringing redemption to the world. Bit by bit. One day, after we climb out of yet another pit that we've fallen into, one day we're going to climb out and we're going to look around and see there's no more pits anymore. That's it. That was the last one. All there is now is daylight, brightness, light, Hashem's light. And that's it. Game over, we're done. Bezrat Hashem, it should be this Purim, if not sooner. We should all win the battle, our own personal battles, our own personal Amaleks, and Hashem should help us to do that. Amen.